Now back to the Midday Grind with Martin and Marlo on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Woke this morning to the stinging lash. Every man rise from the ash. Each betrayal begins with trust. Every man returns to dust. I never ever saw the northern lights. I never really heard a cluster of flies. Never ever saw the stars so bright. In the farmhouse days we'll be alright. I never ever saw the northern lights. I never really heard a cluster.
Back with you at 590 The Fan, the Midday Grind here going till 1 o'clock. Then the hard line is coming your way. We have questions of the day. One of them will be featured later. Hoff does that in the end of the day. Will Matt Bowman pitch tonight? We sort of vary. There's a variation that is he warming up? That could be right now. Is it Wrigley getting loose? What day is today? That's in honor of Big Walt. Did Carpenter walk yet? I think we have to add for us, have we done Spags yet?
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought we could throw in there, too, is Greiton still the governor?
Okay.
That's just like a daily question.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe.
We're not really sure.
And also with Matt Carpenter, we might have to change this to
Tommy Pham walk?
Tommy Pham is walking at a ridiculously high rate.
How about is Carpenter still hitting third? The commish said, we talked to him last hour, commish is a very patient guy. He's been doing this a long time. He said he'll give it till the end of the month.
This happens every year. Why not just keep him at leadoff? I admit that in years past, okay, he should be able to hit third. For whatever reason,
it ain't working.
Matt Carpenter hits better at leadoff. Just put him there. Let's all stop complaining. The second it happens, he's all of a sudden going to go on a tear. We know this is going to happen.
I don't think it's so much. I think it's framed the wrong way. People frame it as if it's like a mental block that Matt Carpenter can't hit third. I think it's just that his offensive skill set is better suited for the leadoff spot. And I think you see that when he's ahead of the count, where it's 3-0, 3-1, situations where you want your number three hitter to swing away, try to drive the ball, instead he takes. Or, which still bothers me, last week he bunts and he squares. But that's the Matt Carpenter skill set. He just wants to get on base, where you would prefer the number three hitter had the mindset of drive the ball, gap to gap, maybe hit a home run. That's not what he's looking to do, and I think eventually you just need to realize he's not going to change that.
Do you feel better if he's getting switched out late in the game, if he's your leadoff hitter? Does that make it feel better when Carpenter's out of every game? Don't you think he's a proud guy about his skill set? And they basically say, almost every game, you're a liability. That's what they're saying. When they take you out of the game,
yeah,
they're saying, you're a liability. You're coming out because of your glove.
I know you're being slightly facetious, but at the same time, In reality, I do like that better, because I would much rather not have the pitcher be the one up in front, up before Marcelo Ozuna. I obviously, you know, I'd rather him be two spots before, if anything, than one spot before.
He's hitting 162. Colton Wong, another one the commission said, give me till the end of the month. And I don't know what happens at the end of the month if Colton Wong's still hitting 150.
And Greg Garcia is productive.
Wong has to keep playing.
Had a couple bombs and a double in a game over the weekend.
No, I think Wong, the leash is long. We understand that. I think the home opener, that was a bogus move. You let him start that game, even with a lefty. You don't start Jairo Munoz. That was a guy who is, and even though it's the big leagues, man, it's all about production, it's all about winning, that was an unnecessary kick to the shorts, okay? He could start the home opener against the lefty. You don't need Jairo Munoz in there that desperately. I'm not saying that's why he isn't hitting. But at some point, if he's sitting at 150, you will say, yeah, the jerk store should play. Garcia deserves a start.
Let me ask you this, though. Why is the leash long with Colton Wong? Because we talk about Flaherty and Wainwright, and we dissect every part of that. Colton Wong, well, we know he's a first-round pick.
He hit last year.
He hit last year, but was injured a lot. And we know sometimes, and he's admitted this, he takes his at-bats into the field. He can make a great play, but all of a sudden he'll boot a routine ball. I think we all know that he kind of has to overcome some of those things mentally in games, where if he's not off to a great start, maybe later in the game he's not going to take productive at-bats. I'm just saying, when you look at Colton Wong right now, why is there a long leash? He's hitting about .150, and the times I've seen him get hits are bunt hits, which is great. But look, if Greg Garcia is playing well, I have no problem with him being out there.
I think I said long leash because he did have a good season last year. He is a highly paid, although nowadays that's not that much money, I guess. But he's somebody you've committed to and you said has value. So I'm not going to just jerk him out of there quickly. But also, I think if you pull the plug on him this season, then you're kind of pulling the plug on him for good, which is okay. I'm not saying it. Hey, you don't have to feel sorry for anybody. If it doesn't hit, you got to take him out. I'm okay with the commission's idea, though. Like, let's let it go a little bit longer. I'm not ready to pull that plug yet, is my point.
I think Colton Wong plays as long as Jose Martinez is at first base. Because right now you have a first baseman with zero range. And then because of that, to make up for that, you need a second baseman who has a lot of range. And that's Colton Wong. I'm okay with sacrificing the offense because you're expecting Pham, Fowler, Carpenter, Jerko, whomever else, to hit the ball. And I'm okay batting Wong and sacrificing the offense there as long as he's there for defense because you have a first baseman who isn't a first baseman right now.
That is fair. When you look at infield defense for this team, Colton Wong is literally the one player that provides you really elite athleticism.
Yes.
And even though Paul DeJong has a strong arm, I don't think he has the greatest range at short. We know Jose Martinez at first. We're seeing, obviously, Matt Carpenter being double switched out because of his defense. So, yes, I'll absolutely give you that. Colton Wong, defensively, he provides a lot of value with the fact that he can run, he can make those plays. And on the Cardinals infield, he's the only guy that does that.
And if you're flipping around and you missed it, Cards Cubs tonight postponed because of the weather at Wrigley Field. It's supposed to be miserable. They canceled yesterday's game at Wrigley. Saturday they played and was miserable and crappy. But the Cubs did score, what was it, 9 runs in the 8th? They were down, was it 10-0? And they won the game 14-10 on Saturday. And all of a sudden, late at night, my phone just starts, zzz, all my Chicago friends who've been quiet about the Cubs for a while, I more or less got multiple texts saying, we're back, baby. We're back.
That was the whiniest I've ever seen Cubs fans when they were down 10-0. They're on there like, what did we even win the World Series for last year? Like, Cubs fans were selling the season off because they were down 10-1 and it was a bad weather the game. They were selling the season ready to go. I was like, this is unbelievable. You guys are incredible.
We knew we'd come back. I knew it. I went over to Yahtzee's and I was pounding them. And my buddy at Murphy said, come over here. We've got a rally going. I mean, I left really, really early, but we did it, baby.
I thought of this late. But when we talk about double switching out Matt Carpenter, I think Mike Matheny's response should be, well, he's really more like a leadoff hitter. So we're not really double switching out the 3 hitter. We're more double switching out the leadoff man.
I'm kind of surprised, as much as Matheny will worry about people's feelings, or, you know, he gives the veterans a lot of leeway. They've deserved it. They've earned it. That kind of mindset. And yet with Matt Carpenter, it just kind of should, we love you, Matt. You get to hit wherever you want to hit. You're not very good at defense. You're just going to come out every game. Is that okay? Okay. I'm just wondering what that conversation is like.
It has been weird, though, because, and again, this is kind of anecdotal remembering this, but I remember a game where he was double switched out and then Jairo Munoz made an error. I don't necessarily think Jairo Munoz is like this absolutely just stud defensive player.
Correct.
Where his value is that much more than Carpenter. So we complained about that, I remember, forever. Then there was one game where Matt Carpenter actually did stay in, you remember, and then he made an error. Nobody really brought that up. Now, the Cardinals eventually won that game, but it's one of those things where, you know, we joke about the Astros having all the numbers and the Tigers not having the numbers. I'm guessing when Mike Matheny makes some of those decisions, and also if it comes down to bunt or not to bunt or to bring in somebody, usually those decisions are kind of a coin flip. Now, maybe it's 52-48, and there's math behind it, but it's like in blackjack. If you're on 16, you're supposed to hit, but some people don't. It's probably like a 52-48 scenario. Do you know what I'm saying? It's basically a coin flip.
Also, the daily question I forgot, is Mike Myers in Memphis or not? The answer as of right now is he's on his way there.
Yep.
Cardinals did activate Jed Jerko and Luke Gregerson. So now your bullpen, if Gregerson's ready to go, got a little more depth in that bullpen. Gregerson and Jerko both coming back. Jairo Munoz, as mentioned, is going back to the minor leagues, optioned out following yesterday's game. Munoz and Mike Myers sent back to Memphis. Gregerson and Jerko called up.
We have a doubleheader on July 21st.
And there's your makeup
Cubs, Cardinals.
Guess who's starting for the Cardinals?
Flaherty
and Reyes.
Oh, how about that?
Yep.
Win Bill.
Breaking news. Flaherty
and
Reyes.
With Josh Donaldson at third?
With Josh Donaldson, who can't throw a ball right now. He's on the DL.
You know what? That has never stopped the Cardinals before. They stopped Grichik. They started Grichik in center once when he couldn't throw the ball.
Albert Pujols played left field, and he couldn't throw. And they would have the shortstop, like, run halfway out. Tony would be like, yeah, we'll work around it. And they would run halfway. They almost, like, handed the ball from left field to the shortstop.
This is a great scenario because think about this. We have just discussed double switching out Matt Carpenter. Right now, Josh Donaldson is on the DL because he literally can't put any mustard on the ball. He's having to kind of just like throw it over there on a bounce. It's now affecting him offensively. So just imagine if this happens again where the Cardinals trade for Josh Donaldson at the trading deadline, but then he's being double switched out late in the game.
One of our great sponsors, Schnucks. They've got the golden ticket going on right now. So if you stop by Schnucks, do a little shopping, pick up some, get some beer, maybe some brats for the grill. Great beer selection. Salad bar for lunchtime. Healthy options, Charles. If you got a big basketball one-on-one game you're worried about secretly, you can
stop by
there. Eat healthy. But you have a chance to win a golden ticket. I believe one's handed out every day throughout the greater St. Louis area. $200 golden ticket, free groceries for you. And our friends at Schnucks also bring you the High School Athlete of the Week. You can find it online at 590thefan.com. You get the chance to vote. Now it's time for a little thing that we call the end of the day.
The end of the day.
Okay, when's the end of the day?
At the end of the day, it's going to be tough to tell someone they might not be in it.
At the end of the day, you know, you got to be happy.
I know we normally like to do this all at once, but I saw a tweet over the weekend, and it's still true today. So I'll bring it up because it is kind of sad because I like both guys. But as we stand today among qualified players, Stephen Piscotty and Randall Grichuk are the two least valuable hitters in baseball.
Somewhere Tommy fan. I told you.
The Tigers don't know that, though.
I told you.
The Tigers don't have access to that data.
Hey,
Piscotty and Grichuk, these guys were first-round picks, right? Big power. Let's bring these guys over. You know that they're the two least qualified players in all of baseball. Yeah, but
what's that
mean? RBIs? They drive in runs, right?
The Tigers are like Franco Pena. What is this RBI, Dan?
that even matter? That is hilarious that Justin Verlander gets all this information. He's like, you know, his scouting report for the Tigers was like, you know, the 3 and 4 hitters, those guys are good.
Hit for
they have power.
Leadoff
guy runs. End of the batting order. You can challenge those guys. Not a lot of pop. It's just like the most stereotypical scouting report.
Verlander, what was it like in Detroit? I don't know. They just said, go out there and throw hard, man. And I did.
And what was it like then? Because the Diamondbacks and the Phillies kind of personified the way behind the times, always thinking about old school tactics. What was it like there then? Like if you're Cole Hamels and you're dealt from Philadelphia to Texas, what's that transition like?
Wait a minute. Scouting report before the game?
What is this?
Philly, they're like, we got a great buffet.
True story. I had a college baseball coach, and he would do these scouting reports, and I'm telling you, this was a big joke with the team. If there was an African-American we were playing against, he would always go like this, assuming they were fast. And because this guy was black, that he would think they were fast runners. And we were always just like, I mean, can you have something more stereotypical than because this guy plays baseball, you just assume that he's fast? And this would happen all the time. And it's like, just because he's playing baseball and he's an African-American does not mean
that
he's
fast.
Yeah,
he's a country guy from Indiana, white guy, probably swings hard, probably their power guy.
And I hope you guys walked out on him in protest.
And we went, I think, 17-37 one year. So there you go.
Oh, way to go, Chuck. Not a very good year at all. I looked it up just out of total curiosity because we were looking at the Reds in terms of could they have the worst year ever. They're 1-7 at home. So they could very well set the worst home record in the history of baseball. Right now, they're on pace for just 10 wins. The current record holder, the old St. Louis Browns, back in 1939, went 18-59 here in St. Louis. Best fans in baseball weren't showing up for them because they didn't play for them.
They're not hustling much. Yeah, 43-111, 39 Browns. I've got my list of terrible teams right here.
Man, when you look at the Reds, though, I mean, they might break that record.
I
mean, they
wait.
Are so bad.
If your Cubs fans talk smack about the Cubs, just let them know that the Reds are undefeated against them. 1-0 against the Chicago Cubs this year. Half their wins against the Northsiders.
I can't wait till this week when the Reds say a special movement now where the homeless are allowed at all future games. Chuck's like, I told you.
But look, if nobody's coming to your game, if you have a 2.5-hour rain delay, wouldn't you just honestly let people walking around downtown Cincinnati come into the game? It would look better on TV, and maybe they buy some concessions. You make a little bit of money.
Do you want to inundate the homeless of Cincinnati with Skyline Chili? I feel like that's just going to be a bigger issue overall for the city.
Again, I felt bad for Cincinnati, which is a good baseball town. I felt bad just watching those games and seeing how few people were in the stands.
Okay, I'm looking at the candidates tournament champions list. And it's funny because when you know a sport really well and the participants, usually they just go by a one-name basis. So if you look at like NBA champions, you'll see Jordan, Kobe, LeBron, Magic, Larry. Like, you know who you're talking about. So I'm looking at the champions list here for recent years for the candidates tournament, which is what Fabiano won.
Oh, we're talking chess. I wanted
talking
to clarify.
Chess,
okay.
Which is what the Fabiano won. So I'm looking at Karjakin, Anand, Carlson, Gelfand. And I have no idea who they are. A lot of one-name bases like Madonna and Cher.
And Carlson,
really weird.
I would be more fun if you called him Magnus. That's his first name. Magnus.
Sounds like a hockey player.
It does. Yes, it does. Karjakin, by the way, was the not the runner-up, but was a three-straight winner for the candidates tournament. So I guess good for him.
Would I be trolling the chess guys that are on me if I change my avatar to just a giant rook?
Yes.
And we have the largest chess piece in the world,
yes,
right?
We do
in
now.
St. Louis. We just built it because another country had built one
Denmark, bigger
than ours. Denmark.
Take that.
Ours
Amazon.
Is now the biggest down there by the Chess Hall
of Fame.
You don't
say we're not talented? Have you seen our giant chess pieces in the Central West End?
I was also reading about Bobby Fischer in the commercial break. When he died in Iceland, Reykjavik, Iceland, he had an estate of $140 million.
Jeremy Schapp, he died in 2008. Jeremy Schapp, if you could find it online, I would suggest it. Did a great piece on him after he passed away detailing the rocky relationship Bobby Fischer had with his dad, Dick Schapp. Apparently, they were very close, like in the 70s and 80s. Dick did a lot of feature pieces on him, and then something happened, and then they didn't.
Also seems like the relationship with his mom might not have been too great.
Yes, and I want to end the show on this. We're not sure how much longer Brian Price is going to be manager of the Reds. Our feature piece is Brian Price, manager of the Reds today. Still, yes. Remember his rant in St. Louis? I just want to play a little bit of that.
But I've been as candid as I can be about this team and our players, and we got to deal with this. Every team that we play has to know every guy that's here and what they can and can't do. Me.
Wow.
It's a disgrace. I'm sick of this. It's hard enough to win here to have every opponent know exactly what the we bring to the table every day.
I think all a beat writer did was report that a player is
saw
like
him at the airport. That's what set him off. Actually, that was Brian Price. He was just reading aloud the Tommy Pham article so that we could all hear it.
I think Brian Price has some naked pictures of somebody. I mean, the fact that
Marsh
guy
shot
every year is back. Ooh. He's on the hot seat every single year, and they never get rid of him. He's always there. What's his win percentage?
Not good.
It's got to be one of the worst of all time.
Hoff went out on a limb. Not good.
Not good. It's worse now than it was at the beginning of the year, and that is the end of the day.
From the beginning of the year to the end of the day. All right, the Hardline, I believe Cam is back.
Eric
just
is back. Should
back
be, too.
In the studio.
No, Eric's not back.
Hardline.
Eric's going to be back on Wednesday.
Ah.
Hardline is on deck. Cardinals.com, where you can buy those single game tickets for as low as $5. You have the theme nights, including the Grateful Dead night, which is this Friday. I heard John Rudy talking about the Grateful Dead and the great guitarist that Jerry Garcia
was. Is John Rudy a deadhead?
Out of nowhere, he's breaking down what a great guitarist Garcia was and how Bruce Hornsby had played with the band. Deadhead night this Friday. All of the information at Cardinals.com. We'll see you tomorrow here on the Midday Grind.